We all have a story to tell. Let's tell yours. Welcome to the Intellectual People Podcast with your host, Jason. Come together and listen to journey stories and more from interesting people. Welcome your host, Jason.
I often post on various audio forums, and I want to take this time to just thank them. In no particular order, they are audioscienceReview.com, audioroundtable.com, audiocircle.com, audioshark.org, audiophilestyle.com, avnirvana.com, diyaudio.com, gearspace.com, and the Parts Express Forum. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate your viewership and enjoy. Welcome to the Intellectual People Podcast. Today, I have Mickey from Acritech. How are you doing today, Mickey?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Great. What is Acritech?
Acritech Coatings is a small family-owned paint manufacturing company. My father started it back in 1985, and in 85, we were primarily making roof coatings for the South Florida climate. We were located in Fort Lauderdale at the time. My father was just primarily making roof coatings, and that expanded into wall coatings, industrial coatings. We made all kinds of metal paints, all kinds of things, an insecticidal coating. We were pretty much all over the board. And then somewhere in like early 2000s, we kind of scaled down our product line and just kind of started focusing on our niche products that we do that you can't necessarily find in other stores. We decided not to compete with the Benjamin Moores and the Sherwin-Williams for the interior and exterior wall paint. The quality of our coatings was phenomenal. And I remember in the 90s, some contractor customers coming in saying, "Mickey, your stuff is too good. You're costing us jobs." To which I chuckled and I said, "Well, you know, thanks for the compliment." I said, "But we do pride ourselves on making high quality products. And, you know, while I understand I'm costing you jobs and that your customer doesn't need to have their house painted as often, at the same time, we can't dummy down our standards either." So, and that's probably another reason why we stopped making our wall paints. I personally used it in 1999 on my house and did not repaint my house till 2014. I only did it because I didn't want a tan house anymore, not because the coating needed to be redone. So we kind of got away from, we're still making the roof coatings. We sell a lot of that to the Bahamas and still local here in the South Florida area. But my dad had a vision for Duratex speaker cabinet coating somewhere in the early 2000s. And it was his forward kind of thinking that he had, so to speak, because he was looking at the reality of things and saying, "Look, if I'm relying on selling roof elastomerics and roof paints, and that's pretty much all I'm going to be selling, you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around. It's time to innovate." So he came up with this idea for speaker cabinet coating. And Jason, I'm super glad when he told me in the early 2000s when he was going to make that, I kept my comments to myself because there's a part of me, my logic, common sense was like, okay, what kind of market is there for that? How much of that are you going to sell? Who's going to buy it? You know, all these things, which, and he was so excited about it. So I just kept my mouth shut and didn't say a word. Well, he knew something. He knew something. He was on to something. And that was like literally his baby, so to speak. That was his project that he created. And, you know, we at the time did not really have much competition. There's a coating out of Germany that you can get, but it's real hard to get here in the States. So, you know, there was a bit of a need that my dad saw and said, "Hey, I'm going to make this stuff." We started doing R&D in 2002. He had the idea before that, but it finally, like the formula was nailed down and we did R&D from 2002 through 2004 before finally putting it out on the streets to customers. So we sold the first gallon of Duratex in 2004. So we're 17 years in now. What's really interesting is that that is our now number one selling product. It has a world recognized name. People from all around the world contact me by Facebook, WhatsApp, email, telephone. I need that Duratex. You know, they don't know the name of our company necessarily, but they know the Duratex name. I need that speaker paint, you know, because it's got a word of mouth. And when I did have a bit of a sabbatical, I worked at Acrotech in the 90s, but then I moved north in 99 and my commute was taking me 2.5 hours to get to work in the morning and 2.5 hours to get home. So I don't know who can be a decent human being in the car for 5 hours a day on top of working for eight after that. But so I did leave. I told my dad, I love you, but I have to, you know, I have to work closer to home. So I was not working at Acrotech from February of 2000 till July of 2012. Unfortunately, my dad was diagnosed with a brain tumor in 2012 and was not able to work. So I came back, gave my 2 week notice at my job and came back to help take care of my dad and also to run the family business. So by the time I came back, Duratex already had been on the market since 2004. So we were already 8 years in. We had a few international distributors. We had a distributor in Canada, a distributor in Mexico. My dad brought one on in Australia, which was super exciting. And then it just took off from there. It really blossomed. And, you know, we're hearing people from other countries contact us. And I really, really want to throw a huge shout out to the incredible people that are on these forums. When I came back and actually started getting on the forums, I didn't even know they existed because of my, you know, time working in other industries. I come back and I find out about all these different forums and I'm like, wow, these people, they go on these forums and they have questions and they ask each other questions and they answer each other. They give such helpful information and tips. And it was super refreshing, Jason, because it was like a whole new community of people for me to be able to see. In the past, when we dealt with contractors who would apply our coatings, you know, a lot of times people get secretive. Like, okay, I know I'm doing it this way and I don't want to tell my trade secrets because it's my trade secrets, right?
Sure.
It's just how awesome the people were on the forums and how they would answer each other's questions was just kind of like faith in humanity restored for me to some level. So I thought that was super cool. And I do have a tendency of asking people, you know, when they'll call, if they haven't used our products, hey, how'd you find out about us? And it still amazes me how many times, you know, it's the forums. People find out about us on the forum. So thank you to each and every forum that's out there that, you know, people say, hey, you know, I've used this product and it's great. And, you know, even people that have used it and said, hey, I had this little thing with it or whatever and give tip, like I worked around it this way or that way. I just, you know, I can't say enough about the people in the forums. I think they're great.
Thank you. And there's a lot to unpack here. So was your father a chemist by chance?
He was not. When we moved here from Michigan in 1975, and my dad actually couldn't find a job. He had two young kids and a wife, and our whole entire family moved down here. His parents, the aunts and uncles, everybody. So we all came down. Okay. And he couldn't find a job. And he thought, well, I heard about this elastomeric coating stuff that can be applied to roofs. So, you know, let me look into that. So he was subcontracting for a roofing company, supplying elastomeric coatings onto roofs. And my dad was, there's just way more to him than that. I'm not dissing somebody that applies coatings to roofs. It's an admirable job. But he just said, you know, I'm going to start my own company. So instead of subcontracting, he formed a roofing company. He sold the jobs. He installed the jobs. And then the roofing company got more and more and more employees. And then the thought came like, hey, you know what? I'm buying these coatings from companies. If I could get a chemist, hook up with a chemist, I could make these coatings and then sell the coatings to my roofing company. So that's really how Acrotech Coatings was born back in the day, was strictly to sell roof coatings to his roofing company. And then I believe that's where he found his passion, was in the making of the coatings and talking to people. And, you know, because he ended up selling the roofing company to his brother-in-law, and he got out of that and focused his time strictly on manufacturing the coatings. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting how he got his start, but also super cool because when contractors would come in, when anybody had any question whatsoever on how to apply our coatings, he was absolutely, you know, the expert to talk about that, because that's how he started. He started actually, you know, applying the coatings. So no, he did not have a chemistry background from school or college. So we did have a full-time chemist on staff. He came up with the idea for Duratex between him and the chemist. You know, sure. The chemist was obviously a huge part in formulating that, because my dad didn't come up with the formula himself.
Does Acrotex still employ a chemist?
We don't have a chemist full time on staff right now, but whenever we need to have something done, I have access to chemists, and also all of our vendors that we utilize have labs and a huge staff of chemists. So I do feel like I'm not kind of just out here thrown to the wind. I'm not a chemist. If I would have known what I was going to do when I grew up, Jason, I absolutely would have paid attention in chemistry class in high school. But, you know, just didn't know that this would be the seat I would be sitting in someday. But I don't have to have all the answers for everything. I just have to know who those people are that are smarter than me to go to when I need to find them. So,
and that is a very valuable lesson to anybody listening that's younger. Mm-hmm. That is for sure. Is Acrotex primarily a Duratex manufacturer now? I mean, what percentage of product, if you don't mind sharing, does Duratex make up for your business?
Sure. In the beginning, you know, it was a very small part, just because it was new and, you know, we were starting out. Over the years, it has, and I've watched it grow each year since I've been back in 2012 anyway. I've watched, you know, the amount of Duratex pick up, and that's happening as we're bringing more dealers on in different countries, and even just the sales in the US increasing, you know, and worldwide, it really makes a difference. But I would say right now, hands down, definitely Duratex is our number one selling product. We call it our bread and butter. We do make anti-slip coatings for floors, primarily exterior surfaces, which also is a good thing, because every country, every place, a lot of people have a surface that could benefit considerably from an anti-slip coating. So there's more people, I don't want to say there's more people that can use Duratex than our roof coatings, but it's just around the world, so to speak, where Duratex is definitely the number one, anti-slip coatings number two. And ironically, we started with roof coatings, and that is now our least moving product. We move it. Don't get me wrong. We're moving coatings, and I'm happy to sell any coatings we're selling. But I just find it interesting how it literally switched from roof coatings were number one. You know, Duratex was at the, and it's completely, you know, flip flopped.
Mickey, I'd like to go through each coating so people that are listening that are familiar with the Duratex name but might not know about your anti-slip coating, roof coating, and the acoustic coating. If you don't mind sharing quickly what each one is precisely used for and how it's used.
Sure. I'll start with the acoustic coating, just because that goes more hand in hand with the Duratex. Sure. It's a sound damping coating, and it is applied on the inside of a cab or a subwoofer or something like that. And I can speak educatedly about how coatings perform, but when you ask me to talk about what happens on the inside of speakers with crossovers and, you know, all that terminology, it's like, but what it does, it basically cuts down on the reverberation in the mid to high range and smooths out the equalizer response. So that is about as highly technical as I can speak on the acoustics, but I also know it stops any kind of rattle from the enclosure. If there was anywhere that there would be any air coming in or out of the enclosure, it cuts down on that as well. I don't feel like it is a complete, like, one, you know, acoustics is the be all end all. That is the only sound damping product you need to use, because polyfill has its place. You know, there's a use for a lot of different coatings. This just happens to be, you know, something, you know, a particular solution. It works fantastic on the inside of automobiles. I have a customer here. We moved last year from the Fort Lauderdale area. We're now in just north of West Palm Beach. So I have a customer in the West Palm Beach area, and they love their music loud. He has a Toyota Tacoma, and he took the entire, it's a four-door pickup truck.
Yep.
Took the entire back seat out of his Tacoma, and it's just full of speakers now. But prior to him doing that, he gutted the inside of the Tacoma. He pulled out the headliner, the carpet, the jute, I mean, everything. And he put our Acoustex coating on the ceiling, the door, the floorboard, every part of this vehicle. And then when that cured and dried, he went ahead and reassembled his car, put everything back in. Now he's got the full back seat that's nothing but speakers. And I asked him, I said, hey, you know, how's that Acoustex holding up? He goes, he was so proud. He got the biggest smile and he goes, come here, I'll show you. Mm-hmm. Turns that radio on. And I mean, I could see the speaker jumping physically with my eyes. I could hear how loud that music it was. It was almost hurting my ears, but there was no rattle. I mean, there was no rattle whatsoever. So, I mean, he couldn't have been happier with it. And I was like, great, what a wonderful testimony for that. So, you know, it's, like I said, it's not the be all end all solution for everything, but it does have its purpose.
And how is it applied?
You can apply it with a hopper. That's really the only way it could be sprayed. The consistency of it is, it's, my dad used to call it kind of like sour cream meets marshmallow fluff.
Okay.
So it's interesting. It's a liquid coating and it comes in a gallon can, but when you open it up, it's not thin. It doesn't look like a typical paint that you would think it looks like. It looks way more like marshmallow fluff, and it's not heavy. So it's not adding a lot of weight to the cab either, which is another benefit as well. And you apply it, the best way to apply it is with like a cheap chip brush. Those brushes that are like wooden on the, you know, that you buy them at the store for a couple bucks. And you really don't want to apply it real pretty like you would painting a wall or anything. You're not trying to worry about not having brush marks. In fact, you actually want to have the brush marks.
You want to just slap it on.
The more stippled it is, so to speak, the better it performs because it gives it, you know, a little bit more to do. We did a highly scientific test here in our shop because somebody had asked me, how does this stuff apply to... And I forgot the name of the coating. It was a liquid sound damping coating, similar to what we sell. And I said, well, you know what? I don't know anything about that coating. Let me research it. That's what I do when someone says, how does yours stand up? I can speak about mine, but let me go now research this other so I can see. And they did a test where they took a piece of metal and they held it up like with a hanger and they took a hammer. I mean, highly scientific. They took a hammer and they just hit the piece of metal with a hammer and you could hear, you know, the noise. Right. And then they coated it, took a hammer, hit it. And then they did two coats, took a hammer and hit it. And I said, well, boy, I mean, we could get equally as scientific. So we did just that. And it is nothing short of amazing when you can literally absolutely hear that difference that, you know, just one coat of it makes even, and then two coats as well. And I understand that, you know, yes, we did that on metal and, you know, boxes aren't always metal, they're wood, but it was done as a, you know, to show you, hey, this is, you know, this is what can be done. So, you know, it's interesting stuff. It can't be shipped when the temperatures fall below 32 degrees.
Understood.
For the Acoustex. It's water-based and it is not freeze-thaw stable. So when it does hit 32 degrees, even when it'll come back up, you know, and thaw out, but it does not ever return to the condition that it was in prior to it freezing. Thankfully, Duratex is freeze thaw stable, so we are able to ship that year round. It can freeze like a brick, and once it thaws out, it takes a while for the internal temperature to warm up. But once it does thaw, there is nothing wrong with it. It performs the same way as it did prior to being frozen. Thankfully,
interesting. Is the popular in pro audio?
It is not as popular as we had thought that it would be. And I don't know if it's just because we don't have the name for that like we do with Duratex, or it just could be perhaps that it isn't necessarily the solution for everybody. You know, there are people that like it, love it. You know what I mean? There are some people that have tried it and said it's not the solution for me. So, you know, whereas the Duratex, you know, Duratex definitely, it does its job for people in all genres, so to speak.
Okay. And your roof coating quickly is, what is it actually for?
Our roof coating was designed as a system, an elastomeric system to be applied to tile or shingle, Bermuda, pretty much all the kinds of roofs that we have here in South Florida and other places as well. Not designed for cedar shake so much, but it starts with a base coat, where the base coat locks everything down, creates one uniform monolithic surface. On top of that base coat, you apply two more coats of an elastomeric coating applied at about 100 square feet per gallon. So it's going on quite heavy. To give anybody a comparison, a roof paint goes on at about 225 to 250 square feet per gallon. So it's going on a little bit more than twice as heavy as a roof paint. You want to really build up the millage on the roof to protect it. So you do two coats of the elastomeric, you top it off with a coat of paint. Now your roof is nice. It's all locked down, uniform. We say if you do it according to our specifications and you use the amount of product that we recommend per how many square feet you have, that that will buy you 5 years time. It actually buys you longer. But at the 5 year mark, we recommend that you go up, you do a visual inspection, you look to make sure there aren't any pinholes or hairline cracks. You do one maintenance coat of elastomeric. It's not, you know, the base coat and two coats. You're just doing one maintenance coat now. Top that over with paint. 5 years down the road, it's like, you know, repeat, repeat. My father put our system on his roof. That house was built brand new in 84. I feel like he coated the roof in about 86 or 87. He definitely did it well before the roof needed to. The longevity of a tile roof in Florida is 20 plus years. Right. You know what I mean? The house that we moved into was a spec home. So it was already, you know, my dad wanted to have a new house, but he also wanted to be in a development that already had established trees, if that makes sense. He didn't want to move into a brand new neighborhood where they plowed everything down and all the trees are like little twigs. Right. And he found just that. He found a new home that was in a neighborhood that had been developed. So it was a spec home. It was already so far along. Long story short, the roof was dark brown. My dad hated that roof from the moment he saw that house because we make bright, white, reflective, cool roof coatings. He's like, and here I am with a dark brown roof. And it was bugging him. I remember I went to school one day, the roof was brown. I came home that afternoon. It wasn't brown anymore. I was like, okay. But my mom still has that original roof on her house from 1984. And wow. Her roof is actually, you know, better off than her neighbor's roof, which is a brand new S-tile roof. Because my mom's roof has our system on it. It's locked down. The next, I'm not going to say when a hurricane comes. I'm going to say, you know, not if, I'm going to say when. When that next hurricane comes through, there's not going to be any wind uplift that's going to cause any of the tiles to go off my mom's roof.
Interesting.
My mom's neighbor, on the other hand, without it being locked down, the wind uplift could cause those tiles to come off. And anybody that lives in any area that's prone to hurricanes and has been through them knows what I'm talking about. When you drive by places after a storm and you look up at the roof, it could be shingle, it could be tile, flat tile, S-tile, it doesn't matter, cedar shake. You know, typically it doesn't happen with metal. Metal withstands the hurricanes, but you see pieces of the roof that are no longer there. Well, that doesn't happen with our system. So, you know, it's neat stuff. Back to the hurricane talk. There were a lot of roofs that were tore off back in 99, not in 99. Hurricane Andrew was in 91, I think, was Andrew. Hurricane Andrew took off a lot of roofs on homes that would have been excellent candidates for our elastomeric systems. And then there were storms after that as well. So I think that's part of why my dad was looking down the pipeline and saying, you know what, municipalities are even making it harder for people to coat roofs as well. And I don't know if it's because the building department and the roofers, you know, their buddy and the roofer, you know, they want you to have new roofs. But I do know homeowner insurance companies will send you a letter when your roof gets around 10 years old. And it's very frightening for a homeowner to get a letter in the mail that says, we're going to drop your insurance. We're not going to cover you anymore because of the age of your roof. And there are so many people that don't know that there's something they can do about that. They just go, oh, they said I need a new roof. So they go and they get a new roof. And there's a thing called a mitigation report that you can have done. Hence, back to the point where my mom still has her 1984 roof. Well, she doesn't have a mortgage, so the bank isn't telling her, like, you have to get a new roof. But you can get a mitigation report, and they go up in your attic. And I don't know if it's called a five-point inspection. There may be even more than that. But they look at the trusses. They look at the roof. They look at the joints. They look at everything. And they're doing, like, a very thorough inspection of your roof. So my mom got her insurance bill about 8 months ago. And she said, Mickey, my insurance is through the roof. And I said, it's pun intended, probably has to do with the age of your roof. I said, your mitigation, you know, report that you had done years ago expires because just like everything, you know, it only lasts so long. She got a mitigation report and her insurance went down. Like it was like a fraction of what they were quoting her. And I love my favorite part. I mean, of course, that my mom saved money, but the mitigation inspector that came out was up in her attic, and he came out and he says, "Lady," he goes, "wow, your roof is in excellent shape." He just like he couldn't believe he was looking at this 1984 roof, and it was in as great shape as it was. And she said, "I know, thank you." She's a sweetheart. But you know, so I mean, it's interesting stuff. But I do believe that my dad could see some of that coming down the pipe. And that's another reason why he innovated to the anti-slips and the Duratex. Our roof coatings cannot ship to places where it freezes either, and nor can our anti-slip coatings. Everything that we make is water-based, green, earth-friendly. And Duratex just happens to be our only product that is freeze-thaw stable. So even though in Florida we're not freezing, we could literally, like we don't, we're South Florida, so we don't hit 32 degrees. Northern Florida does. We could literally ship coatings out every day, but it starts to get tricky for us here around late October and even until April. Because when people are placing orders from all around the country, we literally go online, we look at the 10-day forecast, we're like, okay, it's X amount of days to get to you. And we look for these windows of opportunity that we can get the coatings out. Or, you know, we say to our customers, look, if you want to give us your number, we'll call you back. If you want to cancel your order, because I don't want to hang on to people's money. And 9 times out of 10, people, they want the coating and they don't want me to refund because then they don't want to forget to order. And oops, spring came, I forgot, you know. Yeah. So they're like, just hang on to my order and ship it when you can. So you know, we're always very excited, usually in March, when we're like, okay, we can let all these orders go and it's a big shipping day. But, you know, it makes us excited.
Let's talk about this product.
Sure.
Which is Duratex, which is the speaker coating, outside mm-hmm. speaker coating, right?
Correct.
And it is applied, and these are used, just so everybody knows, this is what I used when I built one of my subwoofers. And this is the roller that you sell. And I believe that the ends are actually replaceable, right? So you can replace these. Although I must say that I've used this 4 times. They wash out very easily mm-hmm. with water and yeah. reusable.
Right. So that one right there is the, we don't actually sell that 3-inch one. That's the one that just comes with our pint and our quart sample kits. Okay. We do sell a 4-inch though, that yes, it has the handle, and also we sell just the naps as well to go on that.
Okay. This product can make any do-it-yourselfer, in my opinion, look like an absolute champion because it's so simple to apply and the result is magnificent. And I will post a picture of my subwoofer that I did right here so everybody can see. However, I think it's important for Mickey to explain what makes this product better than some of the alternatives that are available out there, if you don't mind.
Sure. There's a lot of really cool things about Duratex. First of all, it is water-based. And it is very low VOC. I have actually smelled some coatings that they say, oh, they're low VOC. And I open up the lid and it's like somebody's, you know, the smell is hitting you in the face. Since you've used it, Jason, you know, when you popped the top on that cork, you may have smelled something, but it smells less than regular house paint. And even the low VOC that you pay over $100 a gallon for, I feel like Duratex has even less of a smell than that. So there's almost no odor. Yep. It makes it super easy, you know, to where you can coat stuff. You don't necessarily have to have a dedicated spray booth.
I did it in my living room. Just
my
so
dad
you know.
Did too. Yes.
I laid down plastic and I used a little, I actually used a stool, which I covered, and I put because the cabinet alone is 70 pounds. So I put that right on the stool and I coated it inside the house. No problem.
Yep. Yeah. And the other thing is it also doesn't off gas, meaning right. after it's cured or while it's curing, because there are a lot of coatings out there that, you know, while they're still continuing to cure, they off gas. I had a customer send me I was making a custom color and it was a particular purple. And he said, I have some here. Can I just put it on a piece of paper and send it to you? I said, sure. He sent it to me and it was some kind of solvent. I don't even know what this stuff was he was using, but just on this piece of paper, and he mailed it to me. So it had already been like a week, right? By the time I take it out of the envelope, it's sitting on my desk and I'm like, what am I smelling? Like what? And it was literally just from this little swatch on a piece of paper. So the fact that it doesn't off-gas is great. Like you said, the user friendliness of it. My dad liked to call it an artistic medium and said that you could create anything from mild to wild. And it is, it's absolutely true. And just by slightly adjusting the way you apply it. So if you put more product on your roller and you press heavier on the roller, you're going to have a more aggressive texture.
Yep.
Less product on the roller, less pressure, a less aggressive texture. The other thing that's super cool is that we have two different versions. We have a spray grade version and also a roller grade version. So we're trying to make life easy on, you know, people that want to roll or spray. They are virtually the same product. The only difference between the two is the viscosity or the thickness of the coating. The roller grade is, it's thicker because it is easier to work with when it's thicker, and the spray grade has to be thinner so that it can pump through the lines and also so that it can come out of the tip of the gun.
Right.
Another thing that's very unique about Duratex versus other paints. Most paints are what, and I don't want to bore you and give you too much technicality, but
I just want to point out, Mickey, when you say other paints, you're not talking about regular paints. You're talking about products that are very similar to Duratex in terms of what the end goal is, correct?
Pretty much any paint. What I'm saying, like most paints with right now, Duratex is not self-leveling. And most paints are self-leveling, meaning like when you apply it, if you think about when you're painting the trim on your house or something, you know, you apply it, you want that to level out so that you're not seeing the paint brush strokes. Duratex is designed the opposite of that because you don't want it to self-level because it is designed to build the texture. So right. I can't speak for the other speaker cabinet coatings necessarily if they're self-leveling or not, only because I don't, you know, I don't know how they're engineered or whatnot. But the fact that Duratex is literally designed to build texture is, you know, what's really cool about it. And it can be applied completely smooth as well. You know, not everybody wants texture. Some people want a smooth surface. It can be sprayed smooth. It can be rolled smooth with a smooth foam roller. So there's a lot of different applications and ways that it can be made. That it can be applied for different textures. Duratex is designed to adhere directly to wood, so it does not need a primer. And there are a lot of people out there that I guess they're probably just maybe used to priming things. You know, maybe prior to using Duratex, hey, I would get this black rattle can and I'd spray paint it and then I would, you know, coat over it or whatever. So there are still people out there that are on the mindset that it needs to be primed, but it really, you know, doesn't need to be primed. And that's what I tell people. I said, you can save yourself, you know, an extra step. And save yourself an extra product, you know, the time and waiting for that to cure. I'm not sure how long the cure time is on some of the other coatings that are on the market, but we have recently improved on our cure time. Our cure time used to be, and it still is somewhat dependent on temperature and humidity, it is a water-based coating. So water-based coatings cure by the water evaporating out of the coating. So if you're in like Miami, where we're close to, and it's so humid, we're usually in the 80, 90% humidity range, meaning our atmosphere is already so soaked with water that it's going to take longer for a product to cure in Miami than it is in Arizona because it's a dry heat, right?
Right.
Duratex does like the heat, but the humidity kind of goes against you as well. So areas where it's cold and areas where it's humid, it takes longer to dry. We used to tell people it was like about an hour for to be dry to the touch, and it would be 3 to 10 days on the maximum cure, depending on, again, where your temperature and humidity is when you apply it. We were having feedback from customers saying this is the greatest stuff, but the cure time, it's taken so long to cure. And unfortunately, sometimes customers had like stacked calves on top of each other prior to them being cured. Yep. Then it's called blocking, where you have coating on two different things and then they cure together. It's because the moisture wasn't out of both of them and they literally blocked together. So we listened to our customers and listen and like, look, if you guys could fix this issue, this stuff would be like, I mean, it's already the greatest thing since sliced bread, but it would just be, you know, I mean, the bomb. So we worked on it, Jason. We worked on it for a long time, a really long time, and we nailed it. We fixed it somewhere around October of 2019 is when we finally started selling the new and improved version of it. We tested it for well over a year in-house before ever even putting it out on the street to somebody. And then we have some local walk-in customers that we've known for a really long time. One of the guys, he calls me his brother from another mother. Legit, he comes in, I give him a big old hug. I'm like, what's going on, you know? And we gave him some coding and I said, please test this. And I said, and part of the reason why I'm giving it to you is because I knew he would give me 100% honest feedback. We knew we had a winner. We knew it was great, Jason, but I wanted somebody who uses the coding. I wanted somebody who's making cabs for a living, who's out in the field, and he happens to be down in Miami in Humidville, to give me the honest feedback. He called me up and my husband, he said, you guys, oh my gosh, you literally, you nailed it. And we didn't just give it to him. We gave it to several other different companies as well. Under the caveat, look, I'm not charging you for this, but I need you to tell me your complete honest feedback. And if you tell me, Mickey, you know, I know you think this is awesome, but this stinks. I'm going to listen to what you have to say because, you know, the point was to give customers what they wanted. So we're very excited about that. So now how we differ more from the other coatings on the market is that while a lot of other coatings are water-based, as are we got our water-based coating to cure in a solvent-based coating time-wise now. So there's no more 3 to 10 day cure. When the coating feels dry to the touch in about an hour, you've now got your full cure too.
Really? So,
yes, we are super excited about that. We tested it on a colder day here. We tested it on a colder day and a hot and humid day, coated 2 pieces of wood with the Duratex, sandwiched them together, and then put a big concrete brick on top of it. We were trying to mimic, okay, like if somebody out in the field has cabs, there's weight on them, and this is what they're going to do. I just coated them. It feels like it's dry. I'm going to stack them. Why wouldn't I stack them, right? So we were trying to mimic that. Overnight, left it stacked overnight, came in the next morning, pulled apart like it was nobody's business. So, I mean, my husband and I are high-fiving, and we're dancing all around the shop, and, you know, I mean, all kinds of testing was done, but we're super excited about that.
And that's the only version that you sell currently?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a reason to, you know, say, hey, do you want the one that takes a lot longer to cure? Or, you know, and there's, it just makes sense to have the one version. And it's working better for our customers. That I have a lot of customers in Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota. It's some of the DIY guys I would send, you know, door prizes to for some of their shows. And we have to time it for, you know, the weather because, you know, the Duratex doesn't freeze, but the Acoustex does. So, I called the OEM customers that we have that were up north and explained to them, look, we've made a change. I just want to let you know, you're going to notice that it's, you know, it's performing different. You're going to notice that it's drying a lot quicker. And I got nothing but positive feedback and thanks from, you know, from the people. So, you know, we felt really good about that because we knew that there was an issue when they weren't fully cured and we solved that issue. So, I mean, it made us super happy. So
is Duratex available in different colors?
Yes. Standard is black and white and we have the ability to make custom colors. The only thing I can't make is like a metallic color or a fluorescent color or a pearl. The only colors I can make would be a solid color. And that's due to the nature of the colorants that we use. So yes, we can absolutely make colors.
So if someone sent in a color chip of a solid color, you could match it fairly close?
I'm going to toot my horn for a second, Jason. I'll match it. I mean, I'm really picky when it comes to colors and I pretty much lose money on custom colors because I will spend longer matching that color. I do not subscribe to the it's good enough mindset. Like, oh, I got it close. It's good enough. I'm going to ship it. No, I'll sit there and there have been times where I have to walk away from the color, walk away, Mickey, and come back a little while later because I've played with this green color or this red color or this blue color so long that I'm just, you know what I mean? I can't see it anymore. But like one of the Acoustex brown colors, I had a customer that dropped off. He had a rack that he used to just kind of roll equipment on, and he brought it in and he said, here, you want me to just leave this here for you? And I'm so glad he did, because that was the hardest color I ever matched. It took me a week, not a week solid, but I had to keep walking away, and I kept dabbing with my fingertip on his rack. And finally I was like, I nailed it finally, but I don't think I would have been able to do it that easy had he have not, you know, brought me that swatch. But that was just an example for me to tell you how picky I am. There's a lot of different ways we can make colors. I have color decks here for Sherwin Williams, Benjamin Moore. I try to make it as easy on customers as possible. I say, look, just go to whatever place is close to you. If it's Home Depot, if it's Lowe's, you know how any paint store you walk in and they have the wall of all the different chips. I say, just go find a color you like, and then just let me know what that is. You can say, hey, I like Real Red by Sherwin Williams, number SW6868. Great. I'll make that. If it's a color in my deck, it makes life easy on me. If it's not in my deck, I just try to get my hands on it. I've gone to Home Depot, Lowe's, different paint stores, PPG, to get a swatch that a customer wants a color of. There have unfortunately been times that I have not been able to get my hands locally on the swatch, but the customer has said, hey, I'll just send it to you. So, you know, they've done that. Then there's a time where I had something as interesting as a piece of plastic that went over a seatbelt from the interior of somebody's car, because they wanted their subwoofer to match the interior of their car. And he said, if I send you this piece of plastic, can you match it from that? And then can you please send it back with my Duratex? Sure, no problem. So, you know, I've matched colors from Linex samples that people send in, Tolex samples that people send in. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can match it. There's just two ways that I can't match it. I can't match a color from somebody emailing me a picture and saying, here, can you do this color for me, because of the differences in colors and monitors, and I can't make them from photographs either. Those are the only two. I have to have something in my hand to take out, because my lighting is different in every different place I'm in. And I also will check with the customer, because if they're outdoor speakers, I'm going to go match that color to natural light outside, because depending on the color you're doing, a yellow looks way different in natural light than it does in fluorescent light.
Is there an upcharge for a color?
Yes. Custom colors are slightly more. They're not enough for me to cover my costs, but they are more. And I didn't want to price them to where they're so expensive that nobody wants them. And that is something that sets us apart from, you know, our competition, in that we do have the ability to make custom colors for people. So you're not, I don't want to say stuck with black or white, but you know, those aren't your only two options.
What is the upcharge for?
Let's see. Retail, it's $15 more.
Okay.
For a color.
For
a custom color. For a gallon. I'm sorry.
For a gallon.
Yeah. A gallon is the smallest color. The smallest quantity we can do custom colors in. I used to sell quartz, and I would call them mist tints. There's nothing wrong with the product. It's just back to how picky I am. Yep. I felt like, you know what? I didn't get this gray in the right shade. And I know that I can sit here and add colors all day long. I'm better off going to the shelf, grabbing a new one and starting over. So I would take the gallons and I would pour them down into quartz, take my fingertip, put a little dot on the lid. Here's this gray. And I would just sell them to people who walked in or online too. You know, people could call me and I would go through the list. Hey, I have green, I have this. And that comes in handy for people that have a small project. They want a custom color, but they don't want to have to spend the money for the whole gallon of a custom color. Right. They're like, you know what? That might not be exactly the green I was looking for, but it's not black or white. I'll take it. So, you know, I am able to sell colors that way. It's just some formulas don't break down into real small quantities. So a gallon is just the smallest quantity that we can tint.
Is Duratex durable enough to be outside?
Absolutely. It is weather resistant, so it will protect the speakers. Now, I always do tell people, like, if you've got holes and ports and areas where the water can come in, obviously Duratex can't protect that. Right. We do recommend, some people do one coat, some people do two coats. If you're recoating a cab that already has a coating on it, one coat suffices. If your cabs are going in your man cave and they're not going to be moved around, one coat suffices. Generally, people do two coats, but when you're putting them in an outdoor setting, we tell people three coats are better. You're just giving that extra coat as, you know, just extra protection.
And for the pro audio users that are moving these cabs from trailers to outside outdoor settings, right? If they want to refinish, they literally can just coat over. If it's Duratex on, as the base coat, they can just coat right over it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's as simple as you can take a damp cloth and just wipe it down because you want to make sure you don't have any dust or debris, oils, contaminants, anything like that on there. But I mean, you don't even have to sand it. You can just literally recoat. Now, if there's a situation where, say, your speaker, there was a customer of ours that did amps and one of his amps took a spill. It was actually one of his customer's amps took a spill down the basement stairs. And it left a bit of a digger in the wood in the amp. Now, that's nothing against Duratex because it would have happened no matter what's on that. So it left a little bit of a gouge. And he actually made a YouTube video on, you know, this is why we use Duratex. And his video was maybe an 11-minute video. But he showed how, look, I'm going to take some filler. I'm going to fill in this gouge. Now I'm going to sand it down. I'm going right over it with Duratex. And you couldn't even tell that this even happened. So that's wonderful.
I will put that link below. Mickey, please send me that and I'll put that link below.
Yeah, I will. So it's pretty cool because it, you know, things do happen, unfortunately, you know what I mean? And you know, people will say to me, how durable is it? I'm like, it's really durable. You know, I mean, we've taken screwdrivers to it before and we've tried to scratch it and not been able to, but by the same token, automotive paint is really durable as well, you know, but I mean, things can happen to that as well. So there isn't anything that's, you know, bulletproof and, you know.
Does Duratex have any new products that are coming out that you wish to share?
We don't have anything at this time. No, we were so focused on curing that, you know, solving that blocking problem because we knew we had an amazing product. And it's like, we just have to get past this. And also with speeding up the cure time as well, that opens up Duratex to be able to be used by so many more people because in the big production, you know, time is money. Absolutely. And a lot of big companies will use solvent-based coatings because the solvent-based coatings, they dry real quick and they need to have it applied, packaged and out the door. They don't have space or time to have it sitting there waiting 3 to 10 days for it to cure.
Right.
So, you know, we were really excited about that improvement that we made and knowing that would, you know, open up the door to other people that perhaps wouldn't have been able to use it before, you know, that would be able to use it now.
How many gallons at a time do you make?
It's generally 250 gallons. We could make more. We have bigger tanks, but I don't want to give away trade secrets, but we keep the batch sizes down for a couple of different reasons. Okay. But we have the ability that we could make thousands of gallons a week. So that's not ever been a problem. Give us the orders and we can absolutely get them filled.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You do private label?
We do private label for anything but Duratex.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because back to the beginning of the podcast, when I said people from all over the world are coming to us and asking us specifically for Duratex, yep. If I private label Duratex, I've now just created competition for myself. And I don't want to do that. That was my dad's baby.
Yep.
And Duratex is always going to go out the door as Duratex. Now, I absolutely do. We make a ceramic heat reflective coating for roofs. It's an elastomeric that has ceramic microspheres in it. Super cool coating. And I private label that for a few different companies. And I private label my anti-slip coatings. There's three different companies that buy from us. Well, there's more than three, but there's three that we private label for. They're going out, they're hitting the pavement, they're finding the customers, they're selling the jobs and they're doing the jobs. I put their label on the product because they don't want the customer to come around me and say, oh, I'm going to bypass this guy. I'm going to go right to the manufacturer and order the coating. So, and I'm protecting my customers that way. These customers order from me every week. You know, a homeowner is going to order from me once and I'm not going to hear from them again. So I absolutely private label. I just can't and won't ever private label Duratex.
And what I'm getting at, Mickey, is that any other speaker coating is not Duratex that's private labeled, right? It is a very different manufactured product. The only Duratex that anybody can buy is Duratex from Acritech.
Correct. It's either Duratex from Acrotech or it's Duratex from one of Acrotech's distributors. We have three distributors here in the U.S. Ohio Parts Express is one. We have Speaker Hardware in Kansas. And we also have it's just a very small hardware store called Richard's Hardware down in Hollywood, Florida. They're not a chain, little family-owned place. My dad would have loved shopping there. But we hooked up with them when we moved a year ago because we moved an hour north up to the West Palm Beach area. And we had a lot of walk-in customers that were coming from the Dade, Miami-Dade area and also Broward County where Fort Lauderdale is. They were walking in to buy Duratex and we didn't want to cause a problem for them. They're used to getting it. They don't want to deal with shipping. Right. I want it when I want it. I don't want to pay for shipping. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. So we hooked up with this hardware store. They're open 7 days a week and they're carrying Duratex down there. And so it's working out really well because our customers that were down there, while we miss seeing them, I mean, I legit miss seeing the smiling faces of my customers that I would see on the regular. They're able to get it without having to pay shipping, without having to wait. So, you know, it's working out really well. But yes, Duratex will only be from us, you know, labeled as Duratex. We have a distributor in India that sells our coating. And the first time we went over there to help him with a trade show, he said, how are we going to prevent the knockoff companies that pop up? And I said, we can't. I said, it's called free enterprise, right? Anybody can sell anything they want to sell. I said, they just can't call it Duratex. Well, they were very bold over there in India and they actually called it Duratex. Wow. So my lawyers told them you can cease and desist and you can call it anything but that. So we shut down one company and three of them, they were three partners and they couldn't get along. So all three of them branched out. Now there's three knockoff products out there called they each start with Dura something. I'm not going to mention them, but yeah, you can't even get creative enough to come up with something different, but yeah, it's not Duratex. Duratex will only be
okay.
Labeled as Duratex.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you would like to share or that I should have asked?
I can't think of anything. I did get a great idea from talking to a customer one day when I was telling him what kind of wood filler, you know, works really well with Duratex. And he said, why don't you stock that and carry that on your website just as a convenience for your customers? And I thought, well, that's a great idea. I had never really thought about that. So I'm always open to suggestions from our customers. I'm always here. I'm very accessible by phone, by email. Our hours are Monday through Thursday, but I'm on my phone on Fridays. I'm answering emails on Fridays, on Saturdays, on Sundays as well. I'm always accessible and I love input from our customers. And if there's any suggestions that our customers have, you know what I mean? We're open to it. And that's one of the beautiful things about being a small family owned business. We don't have a lot of corporate red tape that has to be cut through for decisions to be made. So, you know, that's a pretty cool thing too.
Thank you so much. Please go visit www.acrotech.com. And I believe that the email address that's on that website is your email address, correct?
I have two email addresses. There's sales@acrotech.com and then there's also mickey@acrotech.com. So it's very easy to get a hold of me. Wonderful. They're on there, absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time and great product. Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Find us on YouTube and Facebook at the Intellectual People Podcast and online at theintellectualpeoplepodcast.com. Check back for exciting new episodes.